Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to write a book? A lot of people will talk about it, but not too many people do it. Would you like to learn more about how one goes about writing a book? Have you ever wanted to know which is harder, writing a novel or marketing and selling a novel? Now tell me, can you imagine getting some first-hand tips from a published author? Do you know what it takes to be a successful novelist? And when was the last time you heard about a talented novelist who also dabbles in real estate? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? Are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to become a published author? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about writing a book. Before I introduce my guest, I would love to invite you to call into the show if you have any questions. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. I'm pleased to announce today that our show is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com, and I am honored to be a featured host. And we have over 1 million fabulous listeners. Also, LinkedIn has just announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012, which was a wonderful surprise, and I'm very pleased about that. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. My guest is an author and commercial real estate agent in South Florida, as well as a published photographer. He was born in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, raised in Trenton, New Jersey, graduated college at LaSalle University in Philadelphia. He now resides in Palm Beach County, Florida. He is married with 3 children and 1 dog. He loves music, and he is a big Miami Marlins, Dolphins, Panthers, and Heat fan. He also enjoys strolling South Florida with his camera at hand. He has served on many board of directors and volunteered many hours as a coach for basketball and baseball, as well as for junior achievement in many schools around South Florida. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Michael Canfield. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm fine, January. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited about having you on the show. And before we went on the show, you shared with me that you were 53 years old when you wrote your first book. What an exciting thing to do. What prompted you to start writing?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm in the commercial real estate field. Mm-hmm. And commercial real estate had had gotten a little bit slow, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and they suggested I started to do something else as a career, and I thought, well, it's a little late in life to start another career choice. And so they suggested that I write a book, because they said, well, you can do real estate and then write part-time on the side and go that way.
Uh-huh.
And over time, I've sort of discovered that it's difficult to really do both, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
So I've been trying to do both. The real estate market's starting to pick up a little bit, and I've been doing a little bit more real estate here in the last couple of months. But I also keep writing. So
right.
But really, it was a friend that bet me I couldn't write a best-selling author that prompted me to really start writing a book.
Good for you. You sure won that bet and then some. You know, I was 50 when my first book was published and I wrote it. So the moral of this story really is it's never too late to write a book. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. As long as you have the idea and you have the passion to do it, why not do it?
And let's share some advice with our listeners since we're both, what shall we say, mature writers. Now, do you write, how do you write? Do you write in the morning? Do you write at night? Or how do you manage your writing career?
Well, typically I try to write in the morning and then also at night, depending on how tired I am.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I try to start out the day. What happens with me is when I get up, before I get out of bed, I start thinking about the ideas of what I want to write for the day and the plot and where the characters are and where I want to take it for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up and read the paper and, you know, and have breakfast and that kind of thing. I turn the computer on and I try to write for an hour or two. And then I do real estate, if there's real estate to be done that day. If not, then I keep writing or do something else. Maybe I go and do a little photography, whatever, clear my mind.
Uh-huh.
And then after dinner, I try to write a little bit more or go back and edit what I wrote earlier in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm a nighttime writer, and I would write well into the morning hours, 1, 2 in the morning, go to bed. I would just save everything, go to bed, and then I prefer to get up in the morning when I'm fresh and edit what I've written the night before, and it's always a shock to me when I get there and start reading it, and I wonder, who wrote all this? You know, it's very exciting to see what I've done the night before. Now, the big part about writing that we need to share with our listeners is once you write the novel, then you have to sell and market the novel. Tell us about your experience doing that.
Well, depending on the type of person you are, will depend on how you want to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Me being in sales, it's a little bit easier for me to reach out to people than I think at least a lot of the writers that I associate with. I'm in a writers group, and you get a lot of mixture of people that are either introverted or extroverted, and I find that some of them have a hard time even just setting up a Facebook page. I mean, they have no idea on how to socialize or how to connect with people over the internet. I found that because of Amazon, because of Smashwords, because of LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all those social networks that have taken off, marketing a book seems to have changed quite a bit in recent times. Now, obviously, I didn't publish a book or write a book 20 years ago, but it just seems now you have to have a footprint on the internet in order to be able to sell your book.
That's a fact of life. I did write a book 20 years ago, and it was a lot harder because you had to go to book signings, you had to travel, you had to speak. You had a schedule. It was much more difficult. And now, in today's world, you can stay at home and do it all on your computer. What a marvelous time to write a book, don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. I think it's because of the face of publishing has changed so much, and I think it's going to still change because of the internet and other things and because of Amazon. It's become different. I don't know that it's necessarily become easier because, here again, I find that some people find it very challenging to manipulate the internet. I mean, they don't even want to have to put up a web page where you absolutely have to have a web page. I mean, you have to do these things. And I still run across people that write books and want to write books that don't believe you have to do any of this. They think, oh, well, my publisher's just going to do it all for you. Well, it's just nonsense. You have to do some of this on your own.
Yeah, thinking that we all start off just having these high hopes about the publishing world, but the reality is if you don't get out there and do it yourself, no one's going to do it. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host today. When we come back, Michael, I would like you to share your website information and tell my listeners where they can get your books. We'll be right back with Michael Cantwell.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Michael Cantwell. And Michael, could you please share your website information and share with my listeners the titles of your books and where we can get them?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My web address is www.ksmmike.com. KSM, it's my children's names, Kristen, Samantha, and Matthew. So ksmmike.com. And they're available on iTunes and Amazon and Smashwords. And if they're not in your local bookstore, you can order them. I've had plenty of people do that. So you can get them just about anywhere. I have three novels so far. The first one was entitled A Beautiful Song, which is about a guitar player who kind of lost his identity because of, I don't want to give the plot away, but something happened in his life, and he kind of lost himself in his life for a little while. And the second book is entitled Three Long Days, which is about a politician who went to Washington and discovered a small item in the budget, and when he kept pushing to find out what it was, the Speaker of the House and the President tried to pay him off if he would keep it secret. And then he had to decide between his ethics and whether he wanted to be the next senator from the state of Florida or not.
Okay.
And the third book is entitled Soul Intentions, which is about a person who steals people's souls who no longer can appreciate the beauty that they have in life, and he's the guy who steals the soul from the guitarist in the first book. All the characters kind of move forward through the books. They're all standalone books, and they are their own stories. However, the characters are the same the character from book three doesn't really get introduced until book three, but as each character gets introduced, they stay within the series.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Three Long Days sounds like that could be the next Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
It pretty much is. It's very similar in a lot of ways. And in fact, when I started doing some research on different departments within the government and whatnot to make it realistic, I found out that one of the storylines that I was writing was actually very close to the truth, and it had started way back in the days of Abraham Lincoln, and I thought I was making this up, but a lot of what I was writing was very true, and so I then went back and just adapted the book slightly to match history.
Very good. That's fascinating. Now, your novels have diverse topics. But do they all have the similar theme running through them?
I think they do. I think that they really come down to people getting a second chance in life and seeking redemption, because I think that everybody's entitled to a second chance. No one's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in each one of these characters, they're all given a second chance at something. And that's really the theme that I think flows throughout the books.
Tell me, do you believe that you have a soul and that you can lose it, and since you're writing about politicians?
Well, yes, I do believe everyone has a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the fourth book that I'm working on right now is a sequel to the third book.
Uh-huh.
And right now he's going back to Washington, D.C. to take the soul of a reporter who is sending out stories that are just lies in order to get the president reelected. In other words, he knows he's writing lies.
Uh-huh.
And they can't figure out who this reporter is because of its pen name and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, I don't want to give away too much, but as the guy finds the guy, he says, look, you know, you have to stop this or I'm going to take away your soul. And the guy says, I've lived in Washington. You think I even have a soul? So, you know, it's but yes, I do believe everyone has a soul.
Okay, and what about, let's talk about redemption. Is that possible for everyone, or is it just impossible for some souls?
Well, I guess that depends on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I believe that everyone has a right to redemption, and everyone deserves that second chance. What you do with it is up to you, but I guess it depends on your faith, whether you believe in that or not.
Yeah, that's a real question of morality there. That's very difficult to put into a novel, isn't it?
Well, what I find is that, at least in the third book, I did my best not to be preachy. In other words, not to tell you what you should believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just written in a way that this is what the character does, and this is what the character believes in. And it is fiction, so you can either believe in this type of thing or you don't have to. In other words, it's just a story. And I really did my best because there were times when I caught myself trying to tell people, hey, this is the way it is, and this is what you should believe. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back and rewrite it to
yeah,
you know, more fit the character of this is just a story.
Well, you know, we have so many characters on the political scene. Are any of your characters based on real people that we see on CNN and Fox every night?
Yes.
I love it.
I would say loosely based. Each book is a little different in that the guitar player was based on a combination of a lot of musicians that were, you know, popular in the 70s and 80s.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
most of the names I used are names of my friends from growing up. They're not the exact names, but they're, you know, they're similar.
Uh-huh.
And in the second book, a lot of the names were derived from people that I know now, current people that I know. Here again, I didn't use their exact names, but similar names. But the politicians are based on people that I've read about in the news. I used to be a C-SPAN junkie. I used to watch C-SPAN all the time, and I still do pay close attention to politics, probably more than your average person. That one's a combination. Now the third one about people losing their souls.
Yeah.
Most of those characters are based on news stories that I read people that would, that people would deserve to lose their souls, murderers or rapists, whatever. And so they're not really people I know, but people that I've read about in the news, and I just kind of made up my own twist on them.
Oh, this is fascinating because, you know, I write nonfiction, and so I'm in awe of novelists, and I'm jealous too because you get to create the story and you get to make it end, begin and end the way you see it. You know, we're going to take a break, and I want to share some information with our listeners about a wonderful organization that I support. And when we come back, I'm going to have Michael tell us what has surprised him most about his writing and his long-term goals. We'll be right back with Michael Cantfield.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven, international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
And I want to share with our listeners that AATH will be having their annual convention this year, April 1st through the 4th in San Diego, and it is a fabulous experience if it is something that would interest you. Now, Michael, share with us what has surprised you most about your writing now that you are so successful.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, because I never really envisioned myself getting past the first book. The first book, like I said, was more just on a bet, on a whim. And when I put it out there and I started getting a reaction to it, I was surprised at how many people enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And so I had already started the second one, and that just kind of encouraged me to keep going and finish the second one and go into a third one. So one of the things that surprised me is just the reaction to people that have contacted me and people that obviously I never would have met or knew before I wrote the books, and people asking me to sign books or just send me an email to say thanks for writing the book. So that's kind of surprised me a little bit. And the other thing that surprised me is how, I wouldn't say easy, but how much the new stories kind of come to me. You know, I never really considered myself that much of a creative person before, even though I guess I should have because I was doing photography, but it never really occurred to me that that part of my personality or that side of me was easily exposed. And so now that I've gotten into this creative process of coming up with these characters and trying to come up with these stories, I'm finding that I'm a little surprised at how much they just keep coming to me.
Once you start the train rolling, it keeps on going. Now, don't you find writing to be sort of addictive once you get into it? Don't you really enjoy it?
Oh, I do, and that's why I try to do it every day. I've read a lot of what other writers say about writing. I mean, I've really tried to research and not necessarily steal other people's ideas because that's not how you do it, but find out, you know, what time of day do they write? What do they like to write? How do they do it?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of encouraged me to keep going in that direction too, knowing that people, Tom Clancy or Stephen King, whatever, George Martin, these people all started out pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
And that once they got going, it just took over their lives and they just, they try to write every single day. And that's the one tip that I would try to give to people is that even though I don't always follow it just because life happens, I do try to write 1,000 words a day when possible.
Okay.
And if I don't get to it one day, then maybe the next day I'll write 2,000 words or 1,500 words so that you try to write 7,000 words a week. And if you can write more, you write more. If you write less, maybe the next week you go. But you try to do that so that it should take you, for a standard novel, it should take you about 6 months. By the time you write it and go back and edit it and go through it a few times, it's about how long it should take, I think. I mean, some people probably do it
quicker.
How
many pages do you try to get for each book?
Well, from what I've researched, most publishers think that between 75,000 and 90,000 words is a standard novel. Now, I know some people write a whole lot more, and I've come to discover that there's a lot of classic novels that are less. There's 50,000, 60,000 words. But I think the standard now, from what I've researched, is about 80,000 words, between 80,000 and 90,000 words. So most of mine are around 90,000 words.
Okay. Now, the big question of the day is, do you find it more difficult to write a novel or to sell a novel?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. For me, I think it's a combination of both. I think each has its own challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to get better at each element every day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, for example, I just paid for a course from University of Iowa where I learned how to structure sentences better.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, I go and I research. I've been buying a lot of books on how to market other books, and I've been reading those at night.
Yeah.
And so I try to do a little bit of both each day. Now, here again, depending on your personality, will depend on whether you think one is easier than the other. Some people, writing just comes so naturally and so easy to them, they're going to tell you, oh, it's much easier to write a novel.
Right.
but I think each has its own challenge for sure.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think some people are better at one or the other. But the reality in today's world is you have to do both. And you have to apply yourself to both. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. You absolutely have to do both. You can't just write and stick it out there and expect people to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, what writers will call, building a platform. You have to build your platform now. And the big mistake that I made when I did the first one was I had no idea what that was all about, on how to connect with readers before your book ever came out. And so that would be my advice to people is, if you are writing a book now, to start building your platform long before it's ever released. Go out and find your readers, introduce your characters, introduce your book through a variety of different ways, however you choose to do it, but you have to do that.
That, you know, Michael, that is such great advice, and thank you so much for sharing it. I just adore having other writers on the show because, you know, so many people talk about writing a book, but our advice is you have to get out there and do it. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope you'll come back again.
Sure, anytime, January. I appreciate you having me on, and thank you very much.
Okay, it's been fun. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch our interviews with these amazing guests like Michael with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for this week are all exciting, energizing, eclectic. They will amuse, amaze, and they will astonish you. You know, this is the show where you will hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. If you've enjoyed our show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All of your comments and suggestions are welcome. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate quote of the day, money talks, chocolate sings. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to Michael Cantwell. This is January Jones. Thank you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.